We're going to talk about applying the blood today, applying the blood of Jesus. And first thing I want to look at, this is the first scripture. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep. Would you say this? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Say that. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So now there's something's going to happen after the mention of the blood. The God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete. Everybody say, the Lord makes us complete. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. In every good work, to do His will, working in us what is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. This everlasting, this eternal blood covenant, this was a setup for this to happen. The blood covenant is the foundation of the blessing of everything that we have in the Bible. Now, the opening, you know, of course, creation began just with God speaking, but as Todd pointed out last week, the lamb was slain before the foundations of the earth. So before the plan of the earth, it was in the mind of God that the blood of Jesus would be spilled. And now I want to talk about this overcoming, but I want to put the context of that, the next slide. And the war broke out in heaven. So this is the context where this we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony and lived on our lives to the death. It's in this context. It's a good thing and it's a woo thing, okay? And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon as in angels fought, but they did not prevail. Everybody say, yay, they did not prevail. They did not. Nor was there place found in for them in heaven any longer. So now he's being kicked out. So these angels with Satan are being cast out. So the great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Hey, we got rid of the devil in heaven. Oh, he's here. Then I heard a loud voice saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of Christ have come. And the accuser, for the accuser of our brethren, who's accused them before God day and night, has been cast down. Now we're those brethren, and they overcame him. Just go ahead and take a big breath and say, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. And I love my life to the death. In other words, I'm not going to spare myself because it's already paid for. People will grieve. So the next slide, I put that same verse on there just to show the context. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell in them. But look at this, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. So I'm going to be talking about this the word overcame. It says to conquer. It means conquer, prevail. This is the Nikeo. It's this term, carry off victory, come off victorious, of Christ who is victorious over all his foes, and of Christ's believers who hold fast in their faith, even unto death, against the power of the foes and temptations and persecutions. So this word overcome is declared to us in the midst of a great battle in heaven. He's cleansed from heaven, put on earth, and now we are overcoming by what? This is so important, the blood. So the overcoming the works of Satan, overcoming the works of sin, even the things of ourselves, overcoming those, the foundation of that is the blood of the Lamb. So I want to look at some verses. Before we do, let's go ahead and pray this prayer. Kind of read it slowly with me and pray it with me. Say, Father God, Father God, in Jesus' name, I want to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Train me to apply the blood of Jesus that I may be victorious in every area of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your precious, sinless, and uncorrupted blood for me. Thank you for the unlimited mercy that pours over me. Thank you for the power of the blood applied to my life. Amen. And I'm going to have these little thank you prayers tucked between each of these particular passages. So the next one is, we're redeemed or ransomed or redeemed. And by the way, we're doing the devotional series on these. So if you, you know, hey, but I decided to involve, if you've seen them, I've kind of singing on some of them. And so I decided as much as I can, if I can figure out a little song, I'll just kind of throw a little worship in there for the devotions on City Church Fairmont YouTube. But this one declares 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, knowing that you were ransomed. Now, ransom means to, you know, you got to buy somebody back. Redeem means the same thing. You buy somebody back. Ransom by, from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. Not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. So we are purchased. We are ransomed. We are redeemed from the works of darkness and the futility of the way of our life. Okay, the next verse says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. So when this, how do you overcome? You overcome by receiving the fullness of your redemption, that through the precious blood of Jesus. And so we thank the Lord for that. There's a thank you, next slide. It says, Lord, say it with me. Lord, I thank you that by your blood, I am redeemed from eternal destruction. Let's just go ahead and say thank you, Lord. Because that was it, that's what you were intended for, and the blood of Jesus has bought you out of that. Out of a meaningless life, out of a futile way that Satan had confused your family and brought you out of that, and that was on the way to darkness, and now you're headed toward the Son of the living God. So let's say, by your blood, I leave the futile ways of life of my forefathers and commit completely to you. Everybody say, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed by the blood. I've been purchased by the blood. Next one, this is the speaking power. The speaking, the blood's redemptive power. Psalm 107 declares it. I love this verse. Let's say it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them say, you got to say it. And what do they say? It says, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. Let us say so. Let the redeemed, the blood of Jesus redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed say so. I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. And there's a confession, and this is so important. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession. Sometimes you got to go through something. You got to come out the other side. So you got to hold fast. It's going to work, but you got to hold fast. There's a training to say not to let go of the confession. It says the confession of our hope. Everybody say without wavering, without wavering. That is a mature person. The kids, the children are tossed to and fro. But when you grow up, you lay hold of it and you never let go of it. Because God fulfills his promises. For he who has promised is faithful. Well, can we declare that? Let's go ahead and next slide. It says, Lord, I declare that I am redeemed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ from all the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hand. Go ahead and lift your hands. Father, I decree the power of the blood over the body. I decree the power of the blood over the mind, over the soul, over the realm of the heart. I plead the power of the blood over the family. Oh man, I just want to pray in the spirit. We decree the power of the blood, the power of the blood. We say it, the redeemed say so. We say so, we say so. Hallelujah. Tormenting things today, I feel like that's that axe coming down. Tormenting things that have bound you and held you, they cut them today, they cut today. You sever them today. Works of hell. Hallelujah. Next one, cleansed by the blood. This is so powerful. Cleansed by the blood. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, as Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And this is, when you learn to live in the light, this was so hard for me for so long because I didn't like me. And I figured if I brought whatever was in me in the light, you wouldn't like me either. You know what I mean? But then I realized everybody was like that. Everybody was like that. Come on. There's very few people that just are not just got something that, you know, you got to bring into the light. And that's why we learned a long time ago. We learned that when somebody has to bring something that's a creepy crawly, some hard thing, some traumatic damage, and they bring that into light and how they feel about themselves because of it. Maybe they were harmed in certain ways, physically, emotionally, sexually. When you bring that stuff into the light, In this ministry, what we do is we are like garbage men. We don't pick through the garbage. We throw it out. Period. Period. We don't even, that's gone now. It's gone. You're redeemed. It's under the blood. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So we have, with the blood of Jesus cleanses us. In this verse, Psalm 51, 7, purge, this word, purge me with hyssop. The hyssop is a little branch of a wild shrub out in Israel. And what it is they would, the high priest would dip in the blood of the ox or the different sacrificial animals, and he would sprinkle it. And so David is basically saying, sprinkle the blood on me. Sprinkle the blood on me. Purge me with hyssop. Purge. That's the word cleanse, the same concept. Take it out. And that I may be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. So we want to go ahead and confess that. Go ahead, next slide. Say, Lord, I thank you that your blood has cleansed my conscience from the burden of my sins. I rejoice in you that you have made my heart new. A cleansed conscience. There's nothing like a cleansed conscience. To live with a freedom in your conscience. The blood of Jesus Christ, that never happened in the Old Testament. This is all New Testament stuff. Jesus cleanses your conscience. How many of you are happy about that? And when hell comes and tries to put the whammy on you and tell you, nyan, 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 you go, I got a cleansed conscience by the blood. My blood, the power, I'm cleansed by the blood. I wanted to say, put that in your pipe and smoke. Hallelujah. Okay, justified by the blood. Romans 5, 9. Since therefore, we have now been justified. Let me go ahead and just tell you this. Justified is a simple term. It means that God has made you right before him. And there's a play on words. You can do it like this. It's just as if I'd never sinned. The blood of Jesus, you're justified. Let's go ahead. Just as if I'd never sinned. Let me do it again. Just as if I'd never sinned. Hallelujah. Justified by the blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. There's a sadness in this, in that when you're not justified before God, you come under the wrath. Why is that? Because Jesus came under the pouring out of all this. He took all of our sin, and there was a wrath against sin that visited Jesus on the cross. Okay? So the punishment for all of us, let me go ahead and tell you this too. I know it's in that little thing I wrote, but I forget the scripture exactly. In Acts, it says that Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, his body was uncorrupted. And this is a quizzical thing. It really is an amazing thing. Okay, so there's a DNA, blood types. There's blood types. And the blood type of the mother does not determine necessarily the blood type of the child, because the blood goes into the placenta and it releases oxygen into the individual blood of the baby. The baby's blood couldn't be a different blood type, of course. Got it? So here's the thing. When God created Adam, he made him out of the earth. And then he got down on his knees there and he breathed into him the breath of life. And that breath of life is like the oxygen in heaven that went into his blood. And the blood began to activate and go through his body. Okay. So now the blood, can you believe this? It was sinless. But then he sinned. And now when your blood comes outside of your body, the first thing it does is start to corrupt. It decomposes. It goes into a decomposing. That's why you put Lazarus in the, he's decomposed. 4 days, his body's shutting down. It's all decomposing. Why? Because the blood in it, the life has gone out of the blood. And it's decomposing. Jesus calls him from the dead. But Jesus goes in the grave and his body doesn't decompose. He He has a life. He has sinless blood, uncorruptible blood in his body. I don't even know what that looked like on the cross. I can't even imagine. But this opened up my eyes to see something completely different. Jesus had precious, uncorrupted, sinless blood. And the life is in the blood. And he went before, as the high priest, he took his own blood and went into the heavens and put that blood on that mercy seat. Sinless, sacrificial gift for you and me. That's what we're talking about. That's was intended all along. And so in Isaiah, let's go ahead and praise the Lord for a minute. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So in Isaiah 61:10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. So this justification means that God is saying, I'm covering you with what I am. I'm covering you with what I am. I've taken what was in you and put it on Jesus, and now I'm taking what's in Jesus and put it on you. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with beautiful headdress, as a bride adores herself with her jewels. Basically, the Lord is saying, I'm going to deck you out with my righteousness. Amen? So let's go ahead and thank the Lord for that. Say, Lord, I thank you that by your blood, the record of my sin is completely removed from me, and you have clothed me in your righteousness just as if I've never sinned. By your blood, I am made righteous, the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got a couple more. How are we doing so far? Praise God. Now, each of these levels and each of the applications of the blood and justification and redemption and all this, and now in sanctification, each of these puts a barrier between us and hell, and we conquer over the adversary because of it. Okay? I want to just tell each of you, I didn't call myself. I didn't say, you know, I think I'd like to be a pastor. I was the last one to find out. But here's this sanctification work. There's a calling and a sanctification. Sanctified by the blood. Hebrews 13:12 says, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. I was outside the gate. He's going, I'm going to go ahead and sanctify. He suffered outside the gate. He said, I'm going to go out here where all you guys are. And I'm going to sanctify you by suffering where you are. I'm going to sanctify you by my blood and go where you live. Oh, come on. Hebrews 10:10, and by that will we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus. I love for Peter. These things, when you see these verses, you go, I didn't know that was there. 1 Peter 1:2 says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit. Now, there's that term, sanctification. It's a setting apart. It's a transforming. Sanctification is actually making you fit for something you weren't made fit for. He gives you a capacity to fulfill and to go on in his purpose. God has a holy purpose, and you're not ready for it. But sanctification is where he makes you ready for it. He makes you fit for it, and so that you can go and he transforms. That's what sanctification is about. How many of you say, thank God? And so look at this, sanctification of the Spirit. What's it for? For the obedience of Christ and for the sprinkling of the blood. That blood shows up, I'm telling you, that blood. I never saw that there before. I never saw that. Peter's talking about the sprinkling of the blood. Oh, gosh. So then, well, let's declare it. Lord, I thank you that by your blood you are transforming me, making me fit, and setting me apart for your holy purposes. I commit to you to fulfill your purpose in and through me by the power of your blood. A couple more, and then we shift gears. Are you still with me? Okay. Giving life by the blood. Leviticus, this is a key verse. Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. Atonement, everybody say covering. So this atonement word means it's a covering. I've make it a for covering for your souls. It is the blood that makes atonement by the life. So the life is in the blood. And as I said before, Jesus' sinless, uncorrupted blood is now that covering. See, that's the key. And now we partake when we partake communion. 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? Hallelujah. And the bread that we break is not a participation in the body. Okay, so let's go ahead and thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that by the power of your blood, I have eternal life today that began when I put my faith in you. I choose to partake of your life through the blood of the Lamb. Would you just go ahead and acknowledge that again? Because not just with communion, but on a daily basis, it's so important to say, I'm covered, my life comes via the outpouring of God's mercy through the blood. I can partake. Jesus actually turned the multitudes away when he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. He was actually speaking spiritually, but he was pointing to the very life that he carried inside. See, the life is in the blood. And so he's saying there's a drinking of it. Well, he's not talking about drinking real blood. He's talking about spiritually participating in what he's given of his life. Let me just go ahead. And you know what your problem is and my problem is? We have bad blood. We need a blood transfusion. We need Jesus's blood functioning in our life. Intercession. I love this one. Intercession. Now, there's a big long verse here, Hebrews 12, 22 to 24, and we'll get a little bit more into this. But it says, you have come to the Mount of Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable angels in festal gathering. They're all dressed up for the show. And to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. It's like going to be a hallelujah event. And to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of righteous made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This is incredible. This is incredible. How many of you were here last week when Todd said that the blood of the robe that Jesus is covered, had a robe covered in blood? And when he said that wasn't Jesus' blood, it was the blood of all the martyrs. That's when he comes back in vengeance. But right now, the blood speaks mercy. The blood speaks mercy. It's more than that. But so even when you have no idea how to pray, I'm telling you that blood's still speaking prayers. Let's look up here. Let's pray it. Lord, I thank you that the blood of Jesus speaks mercy over my life and intercedes for me, even when I don't know how to pray for myself. Come on. Listen, this is to take us into, you are not alone. The blood is still actively praying. You're not alone. And then access, next one, Hebrews 10:19 through 23. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, say this line, underlined, to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. See, we now come in to the very throne room by a new and living way that he opened through us, for us through the curtain, that is his, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest, now this is Jesus, over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts, every year here goes, sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water, who has promised is faithful. So let's go ahead and pray this. Next prayer. Lord, thank you that by your blood, I have access into your throne room of grace to obtain your mercy in my time of need. I praise you that I belong to you. Now, this go back. Next slide, it says this, the blood speaks. So we're going to go back on this a little bit. Hebrews 11, so to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Next slide. Hebrews 9, now this changes up a little bit. We're going to listen to the blood talk. Could you imagine the blood speaking and what it might say? Now, just have a few of these. I got a book called The Blood Speaks. And what's this guy? Larry Huggins, The Blood Speaks. And I'm going through this, and I finally hit the back of the book, and it's like, it goes on and on and on. He's got passage after passage after passage after passage, and what the blood would say to you. I was like, okay, I can't, I got to get a couple of those for the congregation, okay? So Hebrews 9, 13 to 14, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled of persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So if the blood was to talk, it would say this, I am the blood of renewal. Let's just pretend that the blood is speaking. I purge your thoughts and memories. I say you can now move beyond your failures and mistakes. I say you are no longer a prisoner of sin. And when you fall, you will hear me say, get up again and again and again and again. Oh, let's just worship the Lord. This is what the blood, this is just a little bit of what the blood would say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next slide. Hebrews 9, 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So here's what the blood would say. I'm the blood. Next slide. I'm the blood of cancellation. Come on. Oh my God. Here's this blood talking. I proclaim your sins are canceled. In an instant, I canceled all the disappointments and failures you have accumulated in a lifetime. That's the power of that blood. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the next one. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, this is Hebrews 9, 11 and 12, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. The weight of these words, you can't even wrap your head around the potency that Jesus is pure, precious, uncorrupted blood, is actually created a eternal blood covenant. And all you do is you say, God raised you from the dead. You're Lord of my life. And then all of every provision, and we don't even know what's provided. But now he says, I'm going to give you revelation of who you are to me. How many of you have been enjoying God's speaking? The average person, there's not a lot of them that literally grow up with such a beautiful relationship with their parents that's so incredibly affirming and impartational and all this stuff that you know, they come out with minimal damage. Most people have generational curses all backed up over them, all kinds of stuff. You got to come out of a deep, dark pit. And the Lord knows all that. That's why the blood is so powerful and so securing, and so it changes to the depths. Yesterday I was at a restaurant. I go down to a place to study, and the Lord spoke to me. The guy's wife died about a year ago, and he had told me, gave me his number. And so I figured, okay, and I've been back there a couple of times. I never saw him. This time I'm driving down there to do some studying, and the Holy Spirit speaks his name and tells me that he's actually suffering under the spirit of grief, and it's not irregular grief, and he has a spirit of heaviness. The moment I walk in and I find him, he got about a half an hour between breakfast and lunch that he can sit with me. But the moment I said to him, I said, hey, the Lord spoke to me about you on the way down. about that grief, and he got tears coming up and said, "Jesus loves you, man." He goes, "Well, it just was a short time at the table." Led him into prayer, just repenting. How many of you know you have somebody of great loss in your life, and sometimes the devil comes and says, "God did it to you." Every movie I see, "Oh, how did God do this?" You have no idea how life works. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to give you life and more abundant. And your own will messes up everything. And other people's will messes up everything. There's a freedom down here to kill people if you want. And then you pay for it in front of Jesus. But I mean, it's just rough. And so anyway, I led him in a prayer. And then it's just so much fun to watch Jesus do what he does. Because it's not me. Because the moment he said his name and said that to me, I felt the pain, the grief. I felt the grief in the Lord's heart. I was moved by the fact that the Lord felt his love for him. And the moment I said what the Lord said, you know, I'm just kind of like a little telegram boy. Telegram, Jesus is going to free you right now. Here's your letter, you know. It's not, we're never the source. And there's basically two things. If you can master these two things, humility and purity. If you can, you need some help. Don't we all need help for that? If you can have that in your life, the Lord's like, "Hey," and then all you got to do is just say, "Lord, help me love the way you love. Help me love the way you love. Help me see people the way you see people." And then stuff starts to flow. Let's just thank him for, he wants to pour out more and more in you. He wants to pour out more and more capacity. And he wants you to lock in to the power of what his blood would say to you so that you can receive this eternal weight of his redemptive process inside of you. How many of you feel like today even there's a sense of freedom coming if it's not there? I feel that somebody came up and said, "I feel it severed today. There's just these things that have been happening and there's this declaration of blood." So anyway, we're on this verse. It says, "By means of his own blood, the securing of eternal redemption." This would be the blood, next slide. The blood would be saying, "I'm the blood of promise." Could you imagine the blood talking like this? "It was I, the blood of Jesus, who went into the holy presence of God for you. Heaven stood at attention as I ratified the new covenant," which is a far better covenant with far better promises than the old. "I say your covenant benefits are available now and forevermore." Let's stand together. Would you just lift your heads? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Father God, we want to praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, for your wisdom in putting life in pure, precious blood of Jesus into his blood, and then him going to the cross and pouring out that blood, and then going into the heavens and sprinkling that precious blood upon the mercy seat in the heavenlies. We want to thank you for all the profound things that manifest in our life. And so I pray, Father, for over our lives, that the revelation, the ongoing power and revelation of the blood of the Lamb begin to manifest. We want to go ahead and let me go ahead and say, the moment that God created a blood covenant with Abraham, he cut the animals in half and laid them out as God said. And the moment that happened, he had to beat off the birds of the air, which is a symbol of Satan coming to steal the covenant provisions. And when you hear this today, those birds show up. Hell doesn't want you walking in the freedom of the blood of the Lamb. He doesn't want you to overcome with the blood of the Lamb. He'll do everything he can to steal the idea of the blood and the power of it and all of its provisions from your heart. Will you make a decision that you're going to lock on? You're going to say, I'm going to walk in the fulfillment that Christ has intended by the sprinkling of the blood over my life. In fact, if you want to walk in your house and go like this, I sprinkle the blood in the atmosphere of my room, my home, my mind. I sprinkle the power of this blood. I release the power of the blood. I release the power of the blood. I release the power of the blood. The power of the blood. It binds the works of darkness. It looses the captives. It breaks the power of sin. It heals the heart. It breaks generational curses. Praise you, Jesus. The power of the blood. So we lift our heads, we lift our hearts, and we said, just like David, purge me with hyssop. Pour it all over me. Cover me. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Give me the grace that your blood releases. Now let's just worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Just let worship come up of your heart. Hallelujah. This is kind of a holy moment. Praise you, Jesus. You suffered for me. You bled for me to free me, to establish eternal covenant with me. Let's praise him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We receive the freedom you intend today. We receive the freedom you intend today through the blood. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.